Hey, 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 what's going on, Podcast Nation? It's Jason Harris here. We're at NADA 2024 Las Vegas. I'm here with the one, the only, the infamous. No, I mean the famous. The famous.
Well, it depends who you are.
Craig with M1 Data. Dude, good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Been a hot minute.
Has it? No. Well, yeah. No. It's
been
about 4 or 5 months since we saw each other in person.
Yes.
But we talk all the time.
That's right. Dude, I've been looking forward to this conversation. We're gonna call it the bourbon and data conversation.
Okay.
Anytime I get a chance to talk data, I'm like, let's do it. You know, because there's still a lot of misconceptions. And also just false information that I think dealers are getting fed out there, you know, around the data, what can be done with the data, you know, the cleanliness of the data, the premium quality of the data. So we're going to get into all of this, all right? Okay. But, you know, first thing first, let's kind of talk a little bit about this amazing new product that you guys just launched, all right?
Yep.
Traffic Alerts. Dude, when I saw it, I was jacked, man. Like, I'm just like, I mean, like, it almost made me want to go out and buy another dealership just so I can use it.
You should do that.
Like, right? I mean, like, literally. And I know you're out there watching, like, going, no. But guys, no, I'm serious. All right. For everyone out there watching and listening, what's Traffic Alert?
So Traffic Alert is a dealer defection utility, or business intelligence, if you will. We pull in a dealer's DMS, 5 years of sales and 2 years of service is our default pull. When we onboard a dealer, we run an 18-month historical look back utilizing our location technology to understand everyone in that dealer's DMS that is defected, where they've defected to, how often are they defecting, what type of defection. So lube, oil, and filter, tire, general repair, major repair, transmission, collision. Collision is just a world in its own. Depending on whether or not that dealer or group has a collision center, doesn't have a collision center. If, you know, a competing like brand dealer in their PMA does have a collision center, what the impacts of that are, with the competitive dealer, you know, being able to win over, you know, that consumer in a collision with consumer sentiment issues, so on and so forth. So we do an 18-month historical look back, build out all of this defection. Then we do what we do best, okay? We're a data company. We analyze that data, we run it through our algorithms, and we say, okay, here's who's defected. Here's their new pattern of defection. So that we can predict the next defection cycle within a 7 to 10 day period.
Dude, I think that's the coolest damn thing. You guys could have literally stopped building at defection, right? Yeah. Like, literally, you could have. You could have just come out.
We originally did.
A defection. Well, and I know that's something I always admired about you. You're like, once the cake tastes good, I'm still gonna put it back in the oven and make it taste even better. Here, hold my beer, watch this. You know, but like, but seriously though, I mean, like, you know, I think dealerships have to understand, you know, defection is going to be the hottest topic, all right, for them for the next 5 years. There are stats out there that are absolutely mind-boggling. You know, between 35% and 45% lease loss, right? Like, I mean, literally, as an industry, that means some dealerships are higher, some are even going to be lower than that. But I mean, they're losing that retention level on the lease side that they were so used to having, you know, prior to COVID. That's not going to be there. The most recent set I saw in service, almost 70% of service customers defect to a competing non-franchise service solution once the warranty expires. I mean, literally, we are hemorrhaging customers from that side of the business. I mean, there is no better time right now to be able, in real time, almost near real time, actually see who these defectors are and actually then take action on it. But no, you had to take it one step farther. You actually had to create a predictive model, all right, saying, hey, look, based on all this data that we're seeing, based on this, you know, behavioral and, you know, also based on the people that have already defected and what the distance from the dealership, where they're traveling, all of this goes into this saying, like, hey, here's a chunk of people that are going to potentially defect before they even defect. I mean, dude. That's some secret sauce stuff right there.
Yeah, a little bit of data magic, if you will. So, you know, and we build it out into audience files. So, you know, it's just a simple, hey, I want to target those that, you know, are most likely to defect in the next 30 days or 60 yes. days or 90 days. You know, pushing it back into the dealer's BDC, integrating with your marketing partner, whether it's, you know, social, display, OTT, connected TV, third-party BDC centers. You know, trying to make it as easy as possible for that dealer to execute onto that data. And again, we can pull the DMS if they're a marketing agency. Everything that you can do on our platform, even our KPIs in our user interface, can be API'd back and displayed in your own platform if you already have a UI UX. So, you know, this was the, I think, the first platform that we built with both the dealer and the marketer in mind.
Yeah, yeah, you're really touching both sides of the business here, right? I mean, yeah. you're covering the dealer with some amazing analytics, but then, you know, like, look, the data is only as good as how well it can be actionable, right?
Exactly.
So we're like, okay, well, we got to make this data actionable for the dealer. You know, let's also build it out in a way so that their marketing partners, all right, can actually take this, digest it, and utilize it in just a real easy way.
Yeah, and above and beyond that, on the agency side, okay, if you're an agency or a marketer that's going out and buying conquest lists for service, okay, so you go out, you buy 10,000 records of, you know, like brand in PMA, you can actually load that data into our platform and we'll tell you the last time each one of them serviced. So if 4,000 of those 10,000, okay, serviced in the last 60 days, why are you gonna action on those 4,000?
100%.
Okay, save them for, you know, 3 months from now, or put them into the system and let the system tell you when they're most likely to defect again.
Yeah, why send out a zip code drop mailer to 10,000 people, all right, if a third of them, if not maybe more, have already done something, yeah. And you're just sitting there. I mean, just the monster amount of ad waste and ad dollar waste is insane.
Yep.
And you're eliminating that with a very easy to use tool.
Either that, or if you're gonna do, you know, I'm not trying to pick on direct mail in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I get it. Listen, they're trying to print postcards and drop mail, I get it. But you know, a lot of these print agencies now are have a digital arm, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So you wanna know what? Drop mail to those 6,000, but those 4,000, hit them digitally. Hit them with a smaller ad spend,
yeah.
Okay? Build, you know, try and reestablish that brand awareness. One of the key changes that we've made since we launched is, on our output file, we're indicating what type of defector are they? Are they a lube oil and filter defector? Are they a tire defector? Are they a general repair defector?
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of people out there that defect for lube oil and filter, but still go to the dealer for, you know, recall, general repair, or major repair. So, you know, we're also giving them the tools in order to calculate, you know, with the DMS data, really easy to calculate customer lifetime value for service,
yep.
Okay? And decide, you know, hey, this bucket, probably a waste of money to go after them.
Yeah.
Okay? And this bucket over here is our loyalists, okay? So we don't have to market to them, but these two buckets over here, there's two different approaches. Think of it like a quadrant. You know, general repair, this is how we're gonna market to them, and because we're indicating where they're defecting to, okay? It's really, you know, a dealer's gonna know, hey, that, you know, Jiffy Lube on Main Street, you know, constantly pushing out 1995 oil change.
Yeah, I know it's gonna be Jiffy Lube, I know it's gonna be the Midas, I know it's gonna be Joe's Auto Shop, you
yep.
know, down the street. But not even just on the service side, you do the exact same thing on the sales side.
Yep.
I know if it was, you know, Bill's Auto Shop or Bill's Auto Motor, what motor shop, or if it was the other Nissan competing store, you know, it's like you're able to see that and actually take action on it.
Yeah, and
right?
Then we've also added a shopper flag into the program. You know, more so I guess on the service side, because so the shopper flag is that consumer has viewed a VDP in the last 10 days.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if they're servicing their vehicle and viewing a VDP, what are they doing? They're getting that car ready to trade it.
100%.
Okay. And generally you'll see that in, you know, those, you know, dent wizard type places or body shops or something like that. And you know, the body shops could be, you know, a major collision or whatever, and there's a consumer sentiment issue. You're actioning off the dealer's DMS, so you can calculate equity in a vehicle, okay? If car's in a collision center and they're shopping, There's a consumer sentiment issue. So, you know, if you can get an offer out to them, you know, 20, 50 buck payment change,
yes,
come on.
Well, and that's that predictive, that is that predictive element, right? Yes. I mean, it's just like, you know, we've always talked about proactive marketing strategies. Right? This takes that proactiveness to a whole nother level. You know, and the funny thing is that this seems very unattainable, you know, for most dealerships. You created a way to make it very attainable,
yep,
all right, in a very clean UI UX, right, that I can go there and even hand the keys over to my marketing agency, and they can go in there, yep, and they can pull this data out there and really start to make it actionable. I mean, I was just like, you know, what's funny thing is, it's, you know, you've created this data engine, right? And, you know, so often we've talked about, you know, marketing strategies in the past, and, you know, the strength of that marketing strategy is at its core the quality of its data,
yep,
right? And here you go, you went and built this Ferrari V12, right, that can be used at any given moment for any type of strategy, no matter the size of the strategy. That's the coolest part, right?
It doesn't matter if you're a 80 unit a month rooftop or if you're a 500 unit a month rooftop. I mean, the program's the program.
Yes.
But, you know, data hygiene is, you know, a whole other discussion if you want to get into that.
Let's do it, right? Because, like, look, the data is only as good as the quality of it going into the solution, right?
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about hygiene, guys, and if you're out there watching, I mean, look, this could be as simple as just the way the data gets entered, right?
Well,
or the way that it's updated and maintained.
Yeah, well, updated and maintained is, you know, obviously entering data, yes, you want it to, you know, follow the same cadence. But mainly it's the updating of the data.
Yes. Because that's not something we typically do in our business, right? Like,
no.
I sell them a car, I service with them. I don't call them 3 years later and say, hey, are you still living at like 123 Main Street? Like, I don't even necessarily give them a buzz and say, do you still own the car? I mean, dude, I'll give you an example, which I think is hilarious every single time I get it in the mail.
Okay.
I get a service notification for a car I sold 9 years ago.
I get an email, but yeah.
Right, like I mean, I'm just, every single time I see it, I'm just like, how much money is this dealership wasting? But this is a real thing. This happens all the time.
You know, I'm not gonna say any names, but obviously I've, you know, walked the floor. I've been talking with a ton of people for, you know, the last day and a half, day and three quarter. And, you know, just something, you know, as simple as there's agents saying, yeah, well, we bring in the data, we process it through national change of address. I say, okay, well, what else do you do? Oh, no, we process it through national change of address. Only 40% of Americans fill out that form with the USPS when they move,
yeah.
Okay? And don't get me wrong, it's better than nothing. I'm not beating anybody up. But there's additional ways, you know, through progressive change of address, using transactional data, you know, Mary shows this address, but, and here, listen, 100% have an advantage here is what we do as a data company. But if I got Mary at 123 North Main Street, but the last 15 things that she bought online got delivered to 789 Anywhere Street, she ain't at 123 North Main Street.
No.
So that's what we call progressive and electronic change of address. So, you know, we do that and we're able to, you know, cover at least another 40-45% of that data in order to make sure that we have the most accurate address. You know, Mary's not reporting where she's moving to because the bill collector's calling.
She's not calling the dealer. And she's definitely not calling the dealership to say, yeah, oh, by the way, I don't live there anymore. Can you update that in your database?
You know, and that's another issue that, you know, I see, you know, obviously AI is, you know, becoming, you know, the auto industry's number one buzzword. We can have a whole separate argument on predictive analytics versus AI and what,
yes,
people are actually doing.
Yes, I see. Okay. I love the fact that you use predictive analytics.
Let's just say everybody's actually doing AI, okay?
Okay, sure, we'll say that. Okay, no, okay, go ahead.
Well, a lot of these AI companies are just taking in dealer DMS data and they're taking it for face value that it's all correct. And, you know, real AI is only going to be as good as the cleanliness of the data you put into it. So
you're putting shitty gas in the engine.
Shit in, shit out.
That's exactly what you get. You're not gonna get that V12 purr. You're gonna get some fucking knocking.
Yeah.
You know?
And it sound like marbles in a coffee can.
That's it. And so if you're out there watching this and or listening to it, you know, you do have to make a commitment to your data hygiene. your data hygiene, there needs to be a process. Then it needs to be, I mean, how often, by the way, should a dealer go through kind of this hygiene process?
One, I would set up with, and you know, obviously a little bias here, I offer the service. You know, so we offer dealers an annual subscription, okay, in order to do it. And the way that we recommend that they do it is when we first onboard them, they go through a much more aggressive hygiene process. So we're gonna update the address, we're gonna validate emails, we can append fresh emails, we can append secondary, tertiary emails, we can rank them based on how the consumer responds and reacts with each one of those inboxes, validate the phone numbers, verify that that phone number still belongs to that person. We can append missing phone numbers, you know, landline, cell phone, you know, landline's almost gone for the most part. Some of these dealers still like texting. I'm not a big SMS fan, but if a dealer's doing text messaging, we can overlay the carrier information onto their cell phones for them. And then what we do is we process the entire data set for open recalls.
Yep.
Okay. And then we put it through an owner validation process. Okay. To validate those individuals still own those vehicles. So that's our initial first pass on a dealer's DMS. Then what we recommend is every month we'll go in and grab the net news, okay, that have come in that month, the cars they sold, ROs in, and just standardize them and push them back into the DMS, okay? Then once a quarter, we'll go in, we'll re-NCOA, progressive change of address, revalidate email, so on and so forth. I think what separates us from a lot of other companies when it comes to DMS hygiene, most companies pull the DMS, hygiene it, and give it back to the dealer and say, all right, good luck.
Yeah, expect something to do with
okay.
it. No, you guys have gone as far to
where
make it a full service.
Yeah, what we do is we push that data back into the DMS, okay? And then we maintain a historical look on that dealer's data on any record that has been changed, whether it was the address was updated, email was updated, so on and so forth. When we update an email, we also bring in all the opt-in information,
yep.
Okay? 100% completely compliant. And then we have a small interface that if the dealer ever needs to access that original record, they just log in with the email address and password that we set up when we onboard them, and they put in their customer ID and it returns them the original record.
Oh, there you go.
That's so awesome. We're 100% about compliance. You know, we've gone out, twice a year we have, you know, legal review and legal opinion on compliance. There's always new laws coming out. And compliance is the forefront as well as data security for us.
That's right. So you have the security side, you have the compliance side. But now as a dealer who's maybe watching or listening has gone through kind of this hygiene process, see, now I got my top fuel,
yep.
Right? You know, and I can start looking at different types of AI engines or predictive analytic engines, you know, and yeah, I know you're being a lot more kinder than I am because I still see so many vendors out there completely misusing the word AI. So now I got my data hygiene. All right, now I can go do some pretty badass stuff.
Well, now, I mean, listen, data hygiene is the number one thing. I mean, if a dealer's going to do anything, I mean, that should be a core focus.
They're
exercising marketing campaigns. They have the internal BDC working on that. They're dropping direct mail to it. I mean, let's just take one consumer with a bad record. BDC internally, you know, labor, everything like that, you know, they're going to reach out to them, say, three times. Let's call it $1 a time that they reach out to the consumer. So there's $3. They do a piece of direct mail. Okay, so we got card, stock, print, postage, the whole nine yards. Call that another $1.25, $1.50. Okay, so now we're up to $4.50. Okay, so maybe they do some, you know, drop some email, maybe they do, you know, social campaign, whatever have you, and then they're gonna end up mistargeting.
Yes.
So they're not actually gonna be targeting Mary Smith because they're uploading bad data as a match criteria that potentially could match somewhere else,
yes.
Okay? Or if they're doing, that. You know, addressable geos become a really hot thing over the last 2 years. Well, if you're loading up Mary at 123 North Main Street and she don't live there, you ain't targeting Mary.
Nope.
So we'll just call it $5.
Sure.
Okay? Well, I don't know the last time you looked at a dealer's DMS file. And I can tell you, when we do an onboard hygiene, it's somewhere between 37 and 40% loss. Okay? Between, you know, moved out of PMA, no longer owns, whatever have you. So let's just, you know, let's call it 10,000 records. Do real easy math. Okay? So, and then we'll call it 38%. So you have 3,800 records out of 10,000 at $5 a piece.
Some serious, serious ad spend waste. Yep. Just spend waste, like marketing spend waste, like just hugely, hugely, right? And that's, and so look, not only am I able to use Traffic Lurk to help me build out and create, you know, more proactive marketing strategies, also I am eliminating a substantial amount of just marketing ad spend waste, you know, at all different levels, from the print to my email efforts to my social efforts and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just, I gotta be honest with you, dude. I'm actually struggling to figure out just like, why would a dealership not utilize, you know, Traffic Alert? I mean, it just makes sense.
One, I don't understand why. I mean, the price point's so incredibly low.
Well, that's the kicker. I know. Okay, sorry. I know. Guys, I am passionate about this, right? Love Greg dearly, all right? But what Greg has done and the team at M1 Data has put together is truly a game changer to doing proactive marketing at its best.
Well, I mean, not only that, but why would you let your competing dealer have an opportunity to win over a customer that you spent so much money to get? It's like, okay, well, I'm willing to calculate that cost per car on advertising is $700.
Yep.
And you sell them a car and you're like, okay, it's $700 the next time. No, why? The last time I checked, it's a whole hell of a lot cheaper to maintain a customer than it is to acquire a new one. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm gonna be the first person to tell you. Probably 10% of those people you don't ever want to do business with again. So listen, not every good car deal is a good car deal. We all know that, okay? But I'd much rather decide the 10% of people I don't want to go after rather than saying, well, shit, I need that 10% so I don't have that additional loss. You know what I'm saying? 100%. So not only that, but then you can sit there and focus and hone in on building customer lifetime value, so on and so forth. And there's some dealers that do an absolutely amazing job with it, and you can tell who they are.
Of course.
Okay? Because they're moving 300, 400, 500 units a month.
Yes.
Okay? Service drives packed. They're doing, you know, loaners. They're making sure they're doing whatever it takes to ensure that they retain that customer.
Well, they're playing the long game. Right?
And not only that, but a lot of these OEMs are getting a lot more strict on sold, not serviced. They're, you know, 0 to 36, 36 plus, you know, splitting out the buckets.
They're
starting to, you know, ding the dealer CSI score with, you know, because they don't have the retention. The OEM wants the reason the OEM wants the retention is they want to maintain the market share.
Of course they do. They fought like crazy and spent an obscene amount of money to get it.
Exactly. Listen, I assure you, find some, grab a local employee here and say, what's the name of your local Toyota store? You don't know what the name of that Toyota store is. You just know it's a Toyota store. Okay? Now, if they've bought two or three cars from them, I bet you they know the name of that Toyota store. Okay? Dealers want to make sure their nameplate big as can be on there. But most consumers are just like, oh, the Toyota store down on Main. Yeah.
That's the one.
You know who owns it? No clue.
Nope. Well, that's insane. It's just, with what you guys have put together, all right, I have this amazing tool that I can partner with my marketing agency or utilize myself. That is the coolest part. You guys have made it so easy to use that I don't even, if I want to run it myself and use it myself, I get to use it myself. Guys, look, I know we're getting towards the tail end of our conversation, all right, but I am 100% confident that you guys got to take a look. If you want to be more efficient, all right, have better proactive strategies, you gotta take a look at what Greg and the team over at M1 Data has put together. Hey, thank you guys so much for checking this out. Greg, it's always been a pleasure.
This is what we're gonna do. If you're watching this podcast or you're listening to this podcast on your way to work, whatever you're doing, and you're a dealer or you're a marketing agency, you call our offices and you say, I want the Harris special. And we're gonna give you 10% off of any one of our programs for the first 3 months.
There you go. There's a Strategy with Jason special right there. You heard it. Hey guys, this has been an episode of Bourbon and Data.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for watching.
Have a good one.